Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Well, we have been in our series, Putting a Stop to Fear. I hope y'all have been enjoying it and getting something out of it. I hope it's been a thing in your life that's helping you to break out of some things that have held you back from what God has for you. Putting a stop to fear in our lives. Last week, I loved it. How many of y'all were here last week to hear one of our founding pastors, Pastor Sarah, was here. She shared a great word, and I encourage you, if you missed it, get on the podcast, or if you prefer video, you can get on YouTube and subscribe there. There's a link on our website to both, victoryorlando.com. But take advantage of those. Listen to those, get caught up, get a refresher. I'm so thankful for Pastor Sarah sharing that word with us about stepping out in faith, moving past fear in our lives, and stepping into what God has for us. This is a good place, by the way, if I could just interject about church. I'm so thankful for Pastor Sarah speaking into our lives because I believe that God speaks to men and women and that women have a voice and in the church and should be allowed to do what God has created and gifted them to do. Amen. All the ladies said, and all the fellas said, amen. Come on. God can speak to and through anyone. Amen. Right? And I believe that as people, we don't need to be the limiting factors in what God wants to do through someone else. So often we want to put lids on people and say, you can go here, you can go there. But y'all, Jesus is just a lid busting like door kicking down kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like he's like, we're going to break through some things. And I'm so thankful for Pastor Sarah on that front and helping us lead the way women in the church. I love it. I'm so thankful to be part of the church because I believe the church carries the hope of the world, and that's Jesus. It's through the local church, man, that ministry happens, that people are reached, that the name of Jesus is lifted high in a neighborhood and in a community. And so I'm so thankful for the church. And I don't know where everyone stands in your relationship with God. Maybe you came in today with some doubts about God. Maybe you came in and your background with God is, you know, I don't need God in my life. I'm just going to be a good person. Maybe you came in thinking, you know, you grew up thinking that God was the big man upstairs with the lightning bolts waiting to strike everybody down who messed up. Regardless of where you came in and your view of God, I would just encourage you that this is a safe place. What that means is that no one's going to look down on you. No one's going to make you feel out of place. If you have questions, ask them. If you have doubts, like wrestle through those things, work through those things. Like this is a safe place to ask somebody questions. If you're like, I don't know about God and church and this whole thing, like that's okay. Like just work through all that stuff. We'd love to help you in that. And just know like this is a safe place to work through those things. See, I believe that so often people want their lives to be better. But the truth is our lives will never truly be better until our spiritual life is better. It starts in that place. I believe that, you know, we always say in January, this can be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. And it's just true. If we want our lives to grow, we want things to change in our lives, like we've got to allow our spirit to begin to change and grow first, and then we'll see the evidence of it on the outside. So, man, I encourage you, make yourself available when the doors are open. Like, be in the house of God and just don't feel pressure to, I better do this. No, just be here. Just be in the presence. Allow God to speak to you. Allow him to help you answer those questions and deal with all the doubts. And I know from experience that he's going to do good things in your life. So today, as we've been talking on putting a stop to fear in our lives, I want to talk about this whole idea of breaking free from the fear of people. Breaking free of the fear of people. When we began the series, we began looking at this whole idea that if we're going to, how are we going to put a stop to fear in our lives, right? And the thing about it is that when we put our faith in Christ, when we receive Jesus, a lot of people call it a different things. It's getting saved or whatever that is. But it's when we put our faith in Jesus and we say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I need you in my life. In that moment, when we make that decision, Scripture tells us that something happens in our spirit. It says that the old is gone and that we are made brand new. So we're all new, shiny, new car smell, all on the inside. Like our spirit has the life of God in there. But Scripture also tells us that the love of God is poured out in our hearts. That's significant for us because 1 John 4 tells us that it's the love of God that drives out fear. So if we're going to put a stop to fear in our lives, like, we need to have a more of the love of God working in our lives. We need to have a deeper revelation of the love of our Heavenly Father, because it's that love that's going to drive out the fear. Now, what we need to understand then is that then we have the decision to make, and we get to say how loud of a voice fear has in our lives. I get to decide if fear has a voice in my life and how much of a voice. I get to decide that. That's the power that's been given to us. So we're going to put a stop to fear in our lives and looking at this whole idea of breaking free from the controlling fear of people, because the fear of people is a controlling force. Fear in itself is a controlling force. What do you mean a controlling force? Well, fear wants to come along. It wants to control our thinking. It wants to control our believing. It wants to control our actions, right, so that it can control our lives, so that it will influence us to make decisions and how we do things. It's a controlling force that wants to come along. And the interesting thing is that when we get saved, it doesn't mean that fear stops trying to come at us, okay? So fear is going to come at us, but we get, like, there's a difference between fear coming at me, a fearful thought about something, oh, what about this, and allowing and taking hold of that thing and allowing it to stay in my life, and then I think about it some more. You know, what if I die in a car wreck today on the 408? That would be terrible, and then what would happen? Then my family would have nothing, and then my kids would probably grow up and just be drug addicts and live on the streets and all this. How many of y'all know the moment that we begin to entertain a fearful thought, that thing runs out of control? It gets wild up in that, right? And what is that doing? Fear, we've taken onto it, and then we start talking about it. Well, it's controlling our lives. And as soon as we start talking about it, man, then we start making decisions about it. Then we start passing that fear along and planting those seeds of fear into other people and into our family and into our kids. And before long, they grow up with the spirit of fear. And then, listen, we got to be people that put a stop to fear in our lives. When that fearful thought comes, recognize, like, fear does not come from God. I don't have to allow this fearful thought to have authority or place in my life. I've been given authority over fear. God has given me love, power, and a sound mind. So I don't have to let fear have a place in my life. I can put a stop to fear in my life. When we're drilling in over these weeks and talking about specific fears. So we talked about breaking the fear of lack. We talked about breaking fear of not doing what God has called us to, of being stuck, being immobilized, moving beyond the place where we're at. Today, we're talking about the fear of people. What is the fear of people? Well, that's allowing what other people think about us or would say about us kind of control us. It's wanting to be accepted by people more than wanting to be accepted by God. It's by allowing all these thoughts and things that go on control us and influence. It's the fear of people. What are people going to say? What are they going to think if I do that? What is my family going to say if I start serving in church? What's going to happen if I do all these different things? It's these thoughts. And what happens is that we start thinking these things. And before long, we've played out the whole conversation that the other person has had and their motives and their intentions about us without even asking them. And the truth is, they're probably not even thinking about us. See, we think when people who live under the control of the fear of people, they think that people are thinking about them way more than they actually are. Can I tell you, no one is thinking about you all the time. Don't be offended by that. I love you. But everyone's just not thinking about you all the time. It's just, but that's the deception of it. That's the trick of it, is that in our minds, we've played it out, and we even oftentimes play out our responses to them. Well, I'm just going to tell them this, and we've played out this whole thing, and we think other people are thinking these terrible things about us when more times than not, they haven't even thought about us. Right? There's only one that thinks about you all the time. That's your Heavenly Father. Amen. Psalms 139 says that if we were to count the number of thoughts that God has about you, it would outnumber the grains of sand of the sea. That's a lot. Next time you go to the beach, hopefully not on a Sunday morning, you scoop it up, like, and just start counting off those grains of sand. It's a whole lot. And that's just that cocoa wherever you go. But all the grains of sand of the sea, like God thinks about you more than any of that. So why do we spend our lives trying to chase down, to fit in, to get people to like us, to do all these things, when the one who created us, who gives us breath every day, who never lets us down, never leaves us or forsakes us, he should be the one that we look to for approval. For like, that's where we need to like be concerned about, like, okay, where do I want the applause to come from? From people, from my Heavenly Father. Because the reality is we can't make everybody happy all the time. But so many people die trying. They live a life of anxiety because they want everyone to like them all the time. Listen, let me just tell you right off the bat, 10% of people aren't going to like you. No matter what you do, it's just truth. 10% of people aren't going to like you. It's okay. So I even saying that, sometimes it's just like uncomfortable. Like, no, everybody is going to like me. No, we can't make everybody happy all the time. And we shouldn't live our lives in such a way trying to accomplish that. There's only one that we should live our lives to please, and that's our Heavenly Father. And we do that, we please him by living a life of faith. That's how we please the Father. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It says this, it says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. One version says the fear of man will be a trap, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So the writer is laying out two options for us, to be stuck in a trap or be safe. So he's saying the fear of man is a trap. It's deceptive. Because it seems like it's not that such of a big deal, but in the end, it's a trap. See, a trap is something that you don't realize you're stuck in until you're stuck in. Because it's meant to be hidden. It's meant to be deceptive. You know, when you go hunting or trapping, they hide it. They try to make it blend in to the natural surroundings so that whatever comes by isn't going to see the trap. And then, wham, in a moment, trapped in a snare, can't get out. How did I end up in this place? I didn't know. How did I end up depressed and on these? I didn't mean to end up here. How did I end up trapped and stuck and addicted to whatever it is? Well, it's a trap. That's what it is. It lured us in. We didn't realize we were there and caught in a deception. And then it was too late. We're stuck in a trap. It's the fear of man. But trusting in the Lord keeps us safe. So when we put our hope and we put our trust in him, man, he keeps us from the trap. It keeps us safe. So the writer has given us the direction. We can go either way. So in its simplest form, breaking free from the fear of people is putting our trust in the Lord. We can put our trust in people, and people are going to let us down. Anybody let you down before? It's going to probably happen again. Like, people are flawed. We are all flawed, so people are going to let us down. So naturally, when we trust in something that's flawed, it's not going to be able to support it. The only thing that we can put our trust in that will sustain us and be there for us every time and be what we need is when we put our trust in our Heavenly Father. I know this to be true because I spent so much of my life living under the fear of people. Started when I was young, but I lived that way even through college. And man, it's such a trap that we get stuck in. I grew up thinking that way because of something one person said about me. They, you know, came and said some hurtful things to me. You're this and you're that. And so, you know, as a young person, I took that. I grabbed a hold of that. It became who I was. Well, I must be, I must be the outcast. I must be the nerd. No one wants to be my friends because that's what that person said about me. And so growing up, I grew up with thinking like, I don't have any friends. No one likes me. No one wants to be my friend and all this stuff. And I'm not going to accomplish anything. I could never be the one that God would want to use and all this stuff. I grew up thinking that way. And before long, it began to influence me. And then I would find myself sitting alone. Hey, why don't you come sit with us? No, I'm just over here. No one wants it. The fear of people influences us. It changes who we are. And what happens so often in people's lives is that when they're living under the control of the fear of people, then they begin to make decisions that are out of their character because they're afraid of that person, what they would or wouldn't say about them. Will they accept me? Will they kick me out? Will they think I'm not successful? And so then people, you know, we take it another step further. Then people end up, they're like, well, what if they don't think I'm successful enough? And if I don't have the bigger house, if I don't have a newer car, if I don't have this and I don't have that, and then people end up getting into debt, buying things they don't have the money for to impress people they don't even really like, right? And then they're stuck in a trap of debt because of the fear that, oh, well, they're going to think I'm not good enough or that I'm not successful or that I don't have as much money as whoever, and stuck in a trap. People end up stuck in the trap of addiction because of, you know, because of peer pressure. We put fancy other labels on it, you know, oh, it's just peer pressure. Oh, I'm just trying to live my, I'm trying to live up my best life, or trying to, but really when you boil it down, I just want people to accept me. And we live in a society of that's addicted to approval and likes and followers. And if I don't have this, and if I don't have enough likes, then I must not be as good as this. And if I don't have that, and it's just interesting when you begin to tie the correlation to the amount of young people who are depressed and having suicidal thoughts and carrying them out, and to when they related all the way back to why they didn't like me as much as this other person did on this post that I made. Like there's an approval addiction that when we buy into those things, it overrides the approval that we have from our Heavenly Father. Did you know that you don't have to earn or buy approval from God? You're already approved. It's good. Like, just let that sink in. He already accepts you. You can't earn it. He's just freely accepting you. He loves you. You know, we can't do anything to make Him love us more. And you can't do anything to make Him love you less. He loves you completely right now, same as He did yesterday, same as He will tomorrow. It's unconditional. It's unconditional. You are accepted, so you don't have to earn it. You don't have, like, He just accepts you. He loves you. He made you, right? It's good for us. It's good for us. And I just believe that I'm preaching on this because God has been breaking me out of this fear in my life. The interesting thing is when you break out of the fear of people, what happens is that you shift into another gear. So I'm just letting you know, buckle up, baby, because that victory, we're getting ready to shift to another gear. How many is ready to break free from some fears in your life? It's been long enough. It's been long enough. It's time for us to break free from those things. See, what happens is when we give fear a voice in our life, and I say it that way on purpose, we have to give fear the voice. Fear doesn't get to come in and say, well, I get to have a voice. No, we have to allow fear to have a voice in our life, right? Because we have the love of God in us, and the love of God drives out fear. So when fear comes, it don't belong in us. It doesn't have any rights unless we say, oh, yeah, come on in, let's hang out. What happens when we give fear a voice in our lives is that our hearts begin to harden. We begin to close off parts of our heart to God, where God, we receive Christ. He has access to all of us. But then we begin to invite fear in our lives, and we begin to shut off God. You can be in this part, but I'm going to keep this part of my heart from you. I'm going to keep this. I think I can handle this part of me better. This part has some hurts and some wounds in there anyway. I don't need you in that part, God. And we begin to close off parts of our heart to our Heavenly Father, and it becomes a trap for us. We've got to, so when we talk about breaking free from fear, we have to be willing to dig into some places in our heart, the dark places, the places that we don't like to talk about, the places where there's wounds, where there's hurts from the past, the places where there's doubts. Like, we've got to be willing to deal with some of those places of our heart and allow the Holy Spirit to do a deep work in us. Like a deep work in us, it's got to be move into those places if we're really going to break fear, free from the fear of lack, fear of people. Sorry. I love this from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he says this. He says, it matters very little to me what you think of me. Some of us need to put this on our fridge. It matters very little what you think of me, even less where I rank in popular opinion. Like this, like he's broken free of the fear of people. Like what God has called me to do doesn't change because if somebody likes it or not. So if we're going to break free of the fear of people, man, we've got to begin to adopt. This has got to be our motto, baby. Like, it matters very little what you think of me, even less where I rank in popular opinion. Now, what we have to be careful of is the extremes in this. There's extremes in this. It's like a river. Everybody's seen a river, right? A river has two sides, and they're opposite of each other, right? On one side of this river, you have the fear of people. People living under the control of what other people think. What are they going to say about me? What are they not going to say about me? All that kind of stuff. On the one side. In the middle, we have the water and the river, and it's flowing and moving. On the far other side of the river, we have the opposite end of the spectrum. And that's where people end up going to the other extreme, and they're like, well, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. If you don't like me, this is just how I am. I'm going to do what I think, and no one else matters, Right? That's just a far extreme. And can I tell you, that's just as much bondage as being afraid of the fear of people. It's not freedom to do whatever you want. That's not freedom. That's bondage. Freedom is living for Christ. Okay? So we have to be careful that we're not on the two extremes, that we're meant to be in the flow, in the middle, in the river, where we're moving with the Spirit of God. It's in that place where I'm not afraid of people, but, you know, at the same time, if you don't like me, that's okay. I'm doing what God has called me to do, and that's all right. Besides, the people that, you know, have an issue with what God has spoken to us to do, like, they didn't create you. So we shouldn't let them shape our lives. We should let our Creator shape our lives. How do we let God shape our lives, right? Well, it's through the Word of God. It's through what He's already spoken about us. It's not through what other people have spoken about us. If we want what God says about us to shape our lives, then we need to get into the Word and find out what He said about us. We need to find out that His thoughts about us are for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. That God wants us to be in health and to prosper as our soul prospers. That God wants us to be blessed. He doesn't want us to be living in lack. He wants us to be living in abundance. That God wants to lead us and guide us by His Spirit, that He wants to lead us and guide us into truth. Like, we will need to find out, like, God, what are You saying about me, so that I can identify with that and allow that to shape me. Because no one else created me. No one else can sustain me. No one else can save me. No one else can bring me joy and fulfillment. So I'm not going to let what other people say about me shape me, change me, alter me. I'm going to let my Heavenly Father speak to me, to direct me, to guide me and lead me, because He shaped me. Listen, you are born an original. Don't die a copy. You are original from head to toe. God made you that way on purpose. He gave you a voice. He gave you something to say. He gave you abilities. He gave you an assignment to do. Now it's time for us as a church to begin to do it. I'm preaching good today, and if you believe me, hear you say amen. Let's give God some praise today. Man, God has something for us to do. And it's when we allow the fear of people that we begin to back off of that. Well, they're going to think I'm a little fanatical. It's all right. I know what God thinks about me. That's what matters. We got to begin to shift our thinking this way. You know, it's the fear of people that we have to be careful, is that pride sets in. You know, when our hearts begin to get hard, it's pride that wants to set in, and it happens so unnoticed, right? It wants to creep in, and when we don't even realize it's happening, that pride is slowly building in the shadows of our heart. Why? Again, because we've sectioned off that part of our heart. Oh, God, I don't need You in this part, because we think that we can handle it. That's pride. That's not trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord is when, like, whether I can handle it or not, God, You can handle it better. All right, that's good. So as we talk about breaking free of the fear of people, I want to look at the story of King Saul from 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I encourage you this week, go back and read the whole story for yourself. But King Saul was the very first king of Israel. Israel had been led by prophets up until this time. These were men of God, that God spoke to them. He would give them words, and they would speak to the people. They would lead the people. They would give God's law to the people and all those things. And they had been led this way since they had been brought out of Egypt. But when they came into the promised land, they'd been living there. Scripture says they began to look around at all the nations around them. And they began to say, they have a king. They have a king, and they have a king. God, we want a king. We don't want to be led by the prophets anymore. We want to be like the other nations around us. So today, what I want to do, I want to give us a couple keys to breaking free from the fear of people. So if you're taking notes, the first one is this. The first one is, if we're going to break free of the fear of people, we need to compare ourselves to the right thing. Notice that thing is singular, right? Because I think comparison really gets a bad rap these days. It's like, we can't compare ourselves. Don't compare ourselves to other. And you're right. We shouldn't compare our lives to other people, in the sense of, hey, well, if I had what they had, then I could do what God wanted. If I was just born into that family, if I just had, like, we shouldn't compare our lives to people that way. We should compare our lives to what God says about us, right? Because if I'm not comparing my life to God's word and scripture, then it's easy to get deceived. It's easy to get off and thinking that I'm okay. But 2 Timothy tells us God's word, all scripture is God-inspired, God-breathed, to teach us, to correct us, to lead us so that we can become fully mature followers of Christ. So evidently, in this life that I'm living, even as a Christian, there's going to be some moments where I need to be taught, where I need to be corrected. And it's God's word that does that. Like, oh, I need to repent of this. Oh, I need to get on track this way. Oh, I need to begin living this way. It's like before I knew about tithing and giving, I didn't know about it that like that's how we live. And then we read the word and we learn that way. And then I'm taught, we tithe and give. So like, but until I was taught those things from the word, I didn't know it. Same thing with forgiveness. We don't grow up thinking naturally like, well, I need to forgive those who are nasty to me. No, I had to learn that from the word, and I'm taught from the word how to forgive. And then I got to put it into practice. And then when I don't do it at certain times, then the word of God comes back and reminds me and corrects me. Hey, go forgive those people. Like, it's this process. It's the word of God. So if I'm never comparing my life to the word, then it's easy for me just to get off and just get into my own things. That's why scripture tells us, don't get sucked into the doctrines of men. Like, we got to constantly be bringing our lives back into comparison to the word. What does the word say about it? Even when we talk here on Sunday, don't take my word for it. When you get back home, get your Bible out. Get the word out. Begin to dig into the scriptures we're talking about and see what God is saying. Begin to understand so that you have the knowledge, so that you have the understanding of what God is speaking. Amen. All right. Making sure I'm talking to the right people today. So we've got to compare ourselves to the right thing. It's only when we compare our lives to the word of God. It's the only thing reliable. It's the only thing that is never changing, right? That's why sometimes, have you ever met that person that it's up 1 minute and down the next? And their whole life is that way, up and down. 1 minute they're happy and then they're depressed. The next minute, everything's great. The next minute, you know, the world is crashing and everything's terrible. Just constantly up and down, right? Well, that's because they're basing their life and their decisions on their feelings, and the feelings are like the weather. They're up and they're gone. They're constantly changing. Like, the only thing that's never changing is the word of God. So we've got to build our lives upon that thing. Compare ourselves to the right thing, right? Let's get back to the story. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. King Saul is the king, and Samuel is the prophet. Samuel comes and he says to Saul, he says, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So now listen to the message from the Lord. I love this part of the story, and it's easy to kind of gloss over that. But what is happening in this moment is that Samuel is reminding Saul that, hey, nobody picked you to be the king except for God. He's just reminding him of this fact, like, hey, your approval, your right to be in a place didn't come from people. It came from God. So listen to what he says. Align yourselves with him. Don't allow the fear of people to be an influencing force in your life. Man, allow God to be the influencing force. He's the one who picked you. He's the one who called you. He's the one who created you. So let him shape you. Don't let others shape you, right? This is what is happening in this moment, right? So he goes on and he begins to speak to them. So we're talking about keys to breaking free of the fear of people. Number one, compare ourselves to the right thing. Here's number two, is we need to be doers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. So the Lord speaks through Samuel, and he begins to tell them, he says, hey, when I brought my people out of Egypt, the nation of Amalek, they fought against Israel. They were trying to keep them out. And so we need to deal with this situation. Verse 3, he says, now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death every man and woman, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. That's pretty clear. It's severe, but it's pretty clear. There's not a lot of wiggle room, right? Does anybody have any questions about the assignment that he's given? No, it's to go and completely wipe out this people group and all their animals, right? It's clear. There's no doubt about it. It's like, well, if you encounter this, then handle it this way. No, it's just wipe everything out, right? It's clear. So here he is. He's getting this message from the Lord. King Saul, he's like, all right, let's go. Verse 7, he begins gathering the troops. He assembles the army. He comes to the city and says, verse 7, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. Look at our boy Saul. He's doing what God told him to do. God said, go attack. He gets the army. He goes attacks. He starts doing what God told him to do. Let's go to the next verse. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul. Everybody say, but Saul. You got to say it with a little more swag than that. But Saul. There you go. You know, the interesting thing, there's always a big but in the way when God asks us to do something. Sometimes it's ours. There's always a big but in the way when God speaks something. It says, but Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle and the fatted calves and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely. Underline that word, unwilling. They were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. How did this happen? We went from this moment of clarity where it's crystal clear what God said to do. And Samuel's like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. And then we get on the other side of the battle and they're unwilling. So where's the discrepancy? Where's the gap of what happened between, hey, God, I'm going to do what God told me, and all of a sudden I'm unwilling? Well, the gap is in our hearts. It's in the fear of people where we've become hardened and we haven't realized that pride has been building there, and we haven't realized that it's making us unwilling to do what God has called us to do because we've allowed fear to have an influence in our lives. We've allowed this gap to build up between what God is saying and what we're willing to do. There's a gap there, and we have to be willing to address that thing head on. We got to be doers of the word. James talks about this, right? He says, don't just be a listener of the word. We have to be doers of the word, because if we're a listener only, then we are self-deceived. That means the devil didn't even have to get involved. People have deceived themselves because they just listen. Okay, God, I heard you, but I'm really going to do what I want instead. I'm really going to do my own thing. Like, that's the, they've deceived themselves. And then they're like, well, they've given the devil all the credit. And he's just laughing. He's like, I wasn't even involved. Deceived ourselves. We have to be doers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. Like, so in other words, in those moments, it can't be like, well, God probably didn't mean that. He didn't really mean to tithe off of everything. He's not calling sin something that I think is okay. That's what it sounds like. This, when we're stuck in this gap between what God has said, because God is always clear, and what we really want to do, where we're unwilling to do what God has told him to do. Verse 13, when Samuel reached him, so Samuel's coming to see Saul after the battle. Saul is excited. He's like, Samuel, the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instruction. Can you hear the excitement in Saul's voice? He thinks he did a good job. He's looking for the attaboy. He's like, hey, Samuel, my boy, what's up? I did it. Right? That's what he's saying. Samuel's walking up and he's looking around and he says, what is then this bleeding, the sound of sheep, the bleeding of cattle and the lowing of cows that I hear in the background? What is all this stuff here then? If you really did what God's, like, that's a mic drop moment. You know, Saul's like, hey, and all of a sudden he's like, oh. You know, he's like getting checked on this moment. He's like, hey, I thought you said you did what God told you to do. He's getting checked. It's interesting, when we're living under the fear of people, there's some indicators that happen when we get checked. I want to give you a couple of these real quick. In the next verse, it says this. It says, Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. So an indicator when we're living under the fear of people, anytime we get checked on something, we shift the blame. They made me do it. The devil made me do it. This happened, and so I had to do it. It's shifting the blame when the reality is we made the decision. Saul made the decision. He was the leader. And here he's saying, the soldiers made me do it. The soldiers brought this stuff from the Amalekites, right, and did it. It's shifting the blame. If we want to deal with the deep places of our heart, it's time for us to, like, we got to accept the responsibility for the condition. Like, we've let the pride in. We've kept God out of some areas. We've got to accept the responsibilities. Here's the second one. I want you to see if you see it in this next part of verse. He says, they spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Do you see it? Here's the second indicator, is that it's an obligation to sacrifice. It's an obligation to worship. Well, we kept it because we knew we needed to offer a sacrifice to the Lord your God. Notice he doesn't say to my God. He says, to your God. It's obligated. Well, I guess I better be in church. I better check off all the boxes. I better make sure that God isn't mad at me. If I don't do something, God's not going to be. It's an obligation. I guess I better serve. I don't want to be a bad Christian. It's obligated. I got to. God's not interested in a got to. He's not looking for that. Like, you realize, like, we're not obligated to be here. We're not obligated to worship him. Like, it's a get to. We get to worship. Like, we get to worship the King of all kings, the creator of the universe. Like, sometimes I think it's hard for us to understand, or we overlook that fact, like, of who he is. He's, you know, I think even for us here in America, sometimes we take the blessings that we have, the freedoms that we have, for granted. We're like, I'm tired today. I'm not going to church. I've got too much to do. I don't need to serve people. I don't need to read my Bible today. I'm good. Man, we've lost sight of the preciousness of serving, the privilege that it is of serving God. And I've been to countries where it's illegal to be a Christian. I've been in places where when somebody receives a Bible for the first time, how precious it is to them. The preciousness of just having the word. I mean, I've got like 10 Bibles in my house. I've got one on my phone that I can change to any version I want in just about any language I want. And yet, sometimes it's so easy to overlook it, to miss out because of, we got to be willing to take the blinders off, to do some work in us and realize, like, man, there are people dying around the world today because they refuse to renounce their faith in Christ. And we're like, well, I got to have my beach day. Like, listen, the beach is going to be there this afternoon, too. Like, I just decided for me and my house, we're going to be, our lives are planted here. Yes. Nothing is going to come before that. I've just decided, and I don't say that to put anything on anybody, but we've all just got to decide where that line is, that nothing is going to come above of where. We've got to have that delineation line in our lives. It's not an obligation. It's not legalism. See, I think it's legalism the other way. People to say, well, if you don't do this, then you're missing out. No, I'm not. I'm living the best life. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege. It is a privilege. It's the same like when you look at the difference between King David and King Saul, which, by the way, in the very next chapter after the story, David is anointed as king. So you have King Saul, who lived with the fear of people, and he messed up and he lost everything. He missed out. No one from his family was ever anything again. No one was, it shifted to David's family. But when we look at David's life and his family continue to rule on, David's in the genealogy of Jesus, right? David, by our standards, David was a worse sinner. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He messed up way worse than Saul did. Saul just didn't kill a bunch of people. But the difference was, when David messed up, he knew what to do with it. He realized, like, I've got to go allow God to do some heart surgery on me. I've got to go change some things in my heart. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew in me a right spirit. Remove this far from me. I don't want anything that would keep me from you. Saul, on the other hand, chose to live in the fear of people. Let's continue on and see it in the story, right? So Saul and Samuel would go back and forth in the same discussion. He would plead his case again. Hey, the soldiers made me do it. They brought the best. And we really just brought all this to sacrifice to your God because we knew we needed to make a sacrifice. And we didn't want to give from our own stuff. So we thought we could bring the very best. It's the best of the best. And we wanted to offer it. And Saul finally, I can imagine Samuel just finally just being exasperated and be like, bro, you missed it. Do you think the Lord is interested in your sacrifice? No, he would rather have obedience. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. It's just true. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Saul didn't get it. David did. So what are the keys? Breaking free of the fear of people. First, we've got to compare ourselves to the right thing. The second one is we need to be doers of the word. Here's the third one, is we need to return to the fear of the Lord. If we're going to break free of the fear of people, man, it's really returning to the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is not fright or dread of who God is. It's not the, you know, he's going to strike me down. Like, that's not the fear of the Lord. That's the spirit of fear that God has not given us. The fear of the Lord is a reverent, a wholesome respect of who he is. It's, I don't want to do something that's going to cause separation between me and him. The fear of the Lord causes, it changes my perspective. It changes how I live. It changes how I see things, because when I'm living with the fear of the Lord, then I'm not going to make choices and decisions that are then going to, like, cause separation. It's like, I don't want to do something that would, like, hurt him. like between me and my wife, right? I don't, she's not standing behind me, twisting my arm to make me love her, to be nice to her, to not love other people. We live in a world where people, we realize that where adultery runs rampant. Like, it's easy. It's easy. But I, like, we live together and I don't want to do something that would hurt her. And all of us who are married here would say this. I don't want to do something purposely that would cause her pain or cause her to pull back or to, right? And it's the same when we live in the fear of the Lord. I don't want to do something that's going to cause separation. And when I do, because none of us are perfect, I'm going to run to the feet of my Father. I'm going to do whatever, like God, just like David did, and throw myself before him. Like, it's the fear of the Lord, right? Proverbs says it this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you need wisdom in some areas, you need wisdom in your life. Oh, I'm just not as smart as them. No. Scripture says, hey, if you need wisdom on anything, he freely gives it. So how do I get it? It starts with the fear of the Lord. We need more of the fear of the Lord in our lives. He says, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if you want to grow in your understanding, your ability to see into a situation, know what's going on, then you need to grow in your knowledge of the Holy One. How do we do that? What knowledge do we have of the Holy One? It's in the Word. It's an open book test. You have all the answers right there. It's in the Bible, right? It's that we grow in that way. And look what happens in the next verse when we begin to live that way. He says, then through wisdom, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Like, God has nothing but good for us, right? So Saul goes on. It goes on. He didn't get it. He says to Samuel, I've sinned. I've violated the Lord's commands and your instructions. And look at this line. He says, I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. Another translation says, I was afraid of them, so I obeyed them. He didn't get it. He never was able to realign his heart to come back and be, yeah, he said, I've sinned, but he still didn't change. Oh, I was afraid of them, so I'm going to do what they say instead. And again, later in the story, he would say the same thing. He was trying. He said, Samuel, I've sinned. I was afraid of them. Now come with me. Let's worship the Lord together so everyone sees that all is good. He never got it. He never came to this place where he was broken before the Lord. He said, God, I'm so sorry. He never was able to grasp the fear of the Lord. So how do we recognize this in our lives? I'm going to read some questions off. Maybe some of these resonate in our lives. Things in our lives that begin to indicate it. I'm living with the fear of people and not living in the fear of the Lord is like, whose applause do I crave? Whose applause do I crave? Do I crave compliments? Am I afraid that I'm going to be exposed as a fake? Am I overly concerned with my outward appearance? Do I feel painfully unappreciated? Do I make excuses for my bad behavior? Do I shift blame onto others and I hate the idea of failing in front of people? Do I show favoritism to those I want to impress? Am I overly committed and I'm afraid to say no to some things because I don't want to let people down? Like, it's just indicators of, hey, am I living for the approval of people or am I living in the fear of the Lord? If we want to break free of the fear of people, we got to begin to live in the fear of the Lord. So why don't we just all across this room just bow our heads and close our eyes right where we are today? I believe that God is moving in this place today. I'm just telling you that there is freedom. There's freedom that you can break free from these, from things that have held you back, from fear that's been screaming and making it seem like everything around you is the worst, that everything's going to fall apart, that you're going to fail, that you're not going to make it. You know what? Sometimes we do fail, but the righteous one gets back up again. Failure is not the end. It's only the end if you stay down. It's okay to fall sometimes as long as we get back up, and we get back up with the help of our Heavenly Father when we're at His feet and we're in His presence. So, Lord, I just thank you that you're moving today. Move in us.